Good morning, in Jesus' name. Just like to bless everyone that's listening and just praise the Lord this morning, for His mercies are new every day. I would like to have sort of a continuation from the last two mornings here, talking about the reasons for the birth of Jesus here on the earth. Yesterday we talked about some about the reasons that it was necessary, and how that man was cut off from God because by offending God, because of doing things that were contrary to the will of God, which is the essence of sin. Sin is going against what God says not to do, and then man goes ahead and does it. And then once man has done that, then he's eternally cut off from God, because in heaven there is pure holiness. In heaven there is no sin. And sin can never dwell with God. We can read how that when Satan rebelled against God, how he was cast out as lightning. It's not like it was even 5 minutes or, you know, a day later or sometime when they got around to taking care of that, but rather it was like lightning. That is how serious this issue of sin is, and how God will not tolerate sin, and He cannot. And we are blessed that God does not. Otherwise, we could not look forward to a better place than this earth. This earth is filled with corruption and pain because of sin. And if sin were to dwell in heaven, then heaven would be just another earth. And so I praise the Lord this morning that he is a God of righteousness and holiness. I would like to focus this morning on how Jesus came, a bit on who he was and what he represented. I'm looking for a verse here in John. It's in one of the three epistles of John. So what it's saying here is that John is looking at the two let me just see here. Should have looked this up before. But anyway, maybe I can just go ahead with my point. The point is here that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. And if John here is saying that if someone does not confess that Jesus came in the flesh, he is not a follower of Jesus Christ. Oh, right here it is. 2 John verse 7. It says, "For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." And what I would like to talk a little bit about this morning is that it would seem, by reading that verse there, it would seem that one could just confess with their tongue that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. In other words, you could do that almost like a repeat after me type of thing. And so it just seems to me that, well, what is so hard about saying that? I mean, I could easily see the vilest of sinners and the hardest of sinners, the unrepentant sinners, saying that. Like, I could, you know, it seems like you could convince someone to say that with their tongue. So I am persuaded that it's more than just a confession of the mouth. And then we might say, well, then, what is it? It must be a confession of the heart. Well, as we look at that, I would just like to talk about that very thing and what it means, why that is so important, why that is so significant in discerning the deceivers and the antichrist from the true followers of Christ. And so Jesus says in his word that he is not a high priest. In Hebrews, it says that Jesus is not a high priest who cannot be touched with our infirmities. And we also know that Jesus is a comforter, a compassionate friend for us. I am reminded of that often. Yesterday was a bit of a hard day. I mean, sometimes you don't even know why you have those days. I just know it was that day, it was that way for me. And then after supper, I spent some time alone with the Lord, and I reflected on those verses where it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I was reminded that Jesus, there is no burden that we have, there is no trial, there is no thought that weighs us down that Jesus cannot identify with. And that is all part of this thought that Jesus came in the flesh. Because Jesus was fully God and fully man at the same time. See, Jesus knew what it's like to suffer hunger, to be hungry, and to suffer the pains of hunger. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And if you or I were to fast 40 days and 40 nights, and the experience that we would have, I'm just talking about the hunger experience, I'm sure there's a deep spiritual experience in that as well, but I'm just talking about the basic pangs of hunger. The pangs of hunger that Jesus felt were exactly the same as what they would be, is what we would feel if we were to fast 40 days. And, you know, when he was out, he traveled a lot, and I'm sure he got cold, and I'm sure there was times when he was wet from the rain, and there was times, and especially towards the end of his life, when he suffered a lot of rejection. Friends forsook him, feelings of feeling alone. Even his father, his most cherished father, he experienced the feeling of having his father forsake him. And he cried out in anguish, "Father, why hast thou forsaken me?" All those feelings were real feelings that he felt because he had a physical, fleshly body. Now, we have to be clear on the fact that Jesus never sinned. Jesus never yielded to temptation. Satan had given it his best shot with Jesus, but Jesus never yielded. However, Jesus knew what it's like to be tempted. He knows he knew what it was like to be faced with the choice of backing out of the cross. As the word says, that we are to take up our cross and follow him. And the cross is heavy at times. And sometimes it'd be easier just to say, compromise a bit and just back out and just say, well, make excuses. Well, Jesus knew what that was like, to look at the cross, to look upon it, to look at death and pain and suffering, and to, you know, be in that valley of decision where he actually would have had the choice to not go through. So Jesus, in his walk here, had the freedom to choose, as we do as well. I think we talked about some of that yesterday. And so I'm just pointing out here that Jesus came in the flesh, meaning that he... And I think that's the most important part of this confession. Do we believe that Jesus came in the flesh? Now, I'd like to take that a step further yet. And I would just like to explain briefly here why this is so important. And that is because if we were to make excuses, in other words, Jesus' walk here on this earth was to exemplify how we ought to walk. Okay, so when Jesus walked on the earth, he set an example for us to follow. Now, if man comes along and looks upon the life of Jesus and reads about it, and then says in his heart, well, Jesus was God, and therefore he had a certain power that I do not possess. Because Jesus was God, he had a special power over sin, and therefore, we start justifying and making excuses for our own sin, saying that, well, the reason I don't have power over sin is because I'm not God. If I were Jesus, I would have, you know. And those types of things, I think, is what this means, if we believe that Jesus came in the flesh. Meaning, do we believe that Jesus was faced with the same temptations that we were faced with? Now, the next question is, do we believe that Jesus overcame them? I don't think that's a very hard question to answer. I think most Christians would believe and be fully persuaded that Jesus never committed a sin. So now the next question is, do we believe that we can live this life in the flesh and live above sin? Because it would be easier for us to believe that once we are taken from this world and given new bodies, that then we would not be faced with the temptation to sin, because we're no longer in the flesh, and the flesh is what tempts us to sin. So that, I think that's the big question in this little confession here, is do we believe that we can have the same power that Jesus Christ had while he walked on the earth? And I think that is very important in believing in our walk with God. Because what happens when we're born again, when we confess our sins, when we acknowledge that we are sinners, and then we yield ourselves to Christ, and we give ourselves to him through faith. We give ourselves to him, and we say, Lord, I am yours. Do with me as you will. Fill me with your power. And then at that place, Jesus then comes and puts his nature within us and gives us the power to live above sin. And I think that's very important this morning, that we have a clear understanding of why this verse is so important. For many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. You know, I think many a times they were probably not saying that with their mouths. They were probably not saying, I don't believe that Jesus came in the flesh. I mean, it was very obvious he did. He was born. He had a physical birth. I don't think that's really what they were saying, but rather they were saying, I don't think that Jesus had the same temptations that we had, meaning, and thus it making excuse for being a Christian, for naming the name of Christ, and yet not having power over sin. I think that's what the doctrine of the Antichrist is. So, God bless you this morning. I would like to talk some more about this. There's also, if you desire to, there's other numbers, other messages, Saturday morning Bible studies on this same phone line that you are welcome to listen to. To listen to a live Bible study at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, call 1-218-862-1300, and the ID number is 525-819. And if you want to listen to any recorded messages, call 641-715-3800, ID number 42517. So then to listen to a certain Bible study, you would press the eight-digit date. Saturday, March 27th, 2010 would be 2010-0327, meaning 2010-03 is the date, the month, and then 27 is the date. That is how you enter into a certain recorded Saturday morning date. God bless you.